preaching the message today. So here we are in Jerusalem, but we're with thousands of others of people that will hear this message later. So it's kind of a neat thing to think about as we're going. The message today is called "The Sabbath Was Made for Man." And what I would like to talk about is I'd like to talk about the Sabbath day, which we were just talking about here a minute ago. And the purpose of the message is not to prove the Sabbath day. We have a tape called "One Sabbath Forever" that we do that to prove the Sabbath is Saturday and that it's fine. It's really to show the blessing of the Sabbath. I want to show the purpose behind the Sabbath. And we've been blessed over the last at least a year that the Father has really been blessing our ministry. And since we were on TV this last summer, I mean, literally just thousands of people now are writing and asking for literature. And a lot of people that were never Sabbath keepers are writing. It touches us so much to get a letter from someone who's 68 years old and says, "I've been a Catholic for 30 years and I see the truth through your book." And it just really touches us that the Father can use us in any little way, you know, and here we are weak people, and that he can use us in mighty ways. And many people have been asking, "Do you have a tape on how to keep the Sabbath?" And even people that have been keeping Sabbath for 20 years have been asking me for probably 4 or 5 years. And I've been neglecting to do a tape like that because I don't want to make the Sabbath into a burden. And I don't want to do a tape to say, okay, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do. And what I felt was, moreover, I wanted to give a tape of principles for the Sabbath, but to really show the blessing of the Sabbath thing. That's why I called it "The Sabbath Was Made for Man." I'm just going to read, I have a book here that I read from the feast called "The Old Path." I'm going to read one or two quotes just about, we know in rabbinical Judaism that they do have a lot of laws for the Sabbath day. As a matter of fact, they have over 1,000 laws, you know, and in Israel over here, we see that, you know, we see that everything from unturning a light bulb to this and that. And I just wanted to read one or two that I thought were a little interesting from the Mishnah on that. The one says, "Whoever intends to do any work on the Sabbath and begins it and does a certain measure is guilty, although he does not finish that which he intended. How so? Suppose he intended to write a letter or a contract on the Sabbath. It is not that he be thought that he will not be guilty until he finishes this letter or business and he writes the whole contract or the whole letter. On the contrary, as soon as he has written 2 letters of the alphabet, he is guilty. And consequently, if he is proved, he must be stoned to death." So we can see that sometimes if we start making the Sabbath into a burden, we can see where Christianity wouldn't like the Sabbath day. And many people say, that law is a burden. So that's the point, that we want to show the blessings of the keeping of the law. We don't want to show the burden. And just one other, I thought was kind of humorous, I'll read from the Mishnah. It says that a beast that has got most of his body outside and its head inside may be fed. And if he should take this as a general rule of conduct, he would be mistaken again, for long-necked animals are an exception to this. So it's actually a rule of heaven there that, you know, that a beast, if most of the body is inside, just the head is outside, you can see this, but if it's a long-necked animal, you know, like ostrich, then you wouldn't be able to. So, as a matter of fact, it's interesting, from my book, several rabbis that have gotten my book in Jerusalem that have called me in and talked to me about it, and they were talking to me about the oral law, and they said, "Well, how do you keep the Sabbath? You know, without the law, oral law, how would you know how to keep it?" And I basically said the two principles I'm going to go over today, that we cease from our work, and we don't seek our own pleasure. You know, and that's really, if that's your mindset, you don't need 1,000 ways to do and do that. And he looked at me when I said it, and he said, "Well, that's pretty good." He actually agreed with me on it, you know, because it is. But I want to start in Genesis 2. And I want to show something for people that say the Sabbath day is done away with, or the Sabbath day is changed to Sunday, or, you know, there is no Sabbath day, or some people say every day is the Sabbath day. There's a scripture that I think you're missing here in Genesis 2. And I'm going to read 2 verses, 2 and 3. It says, "And on the seventh day Elohim completed his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, set it apart for a holy purpose, because he rested from all his work on it which Elohim had created to make." Now, very interesting, if you look at this, we know Creation Week, and I'm going to go over a little bit of Creation Week here. What was made, you know, from the first day, let there be light, to the second day, the third day, the seed. But what most people don't realize is, the Sabbath from the scripture was something that was made by the act of resting. Did you catch that? And I'll read it again. "And on the seventh day, Elohim completed his work which he had made." See, he completed his work. actually the act of resting was the work that he did which made the Sabbath day. And what I say is the same way on the fourth day, the sun, the moon, and the stars are in the sky. You can't say the moon is done away with. You know, you can't say the stars done away with. It's a part of creation. In the same way, the Sabbath day is a part of creation. So even though it's invisible, and we're going to read about something and what he says about the invisible things of creation, and actually it's the only invisible part of creation, it's part of creation. So by the very act of resting on that seventh day, it became part of creation. So very easy from Genesis we can see. The Sabbath is not Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. On the seventh day he rested. And you know what's interesting? If you look at calendars, probably everybody has seen the last few years, there's been a big calendar debate on all these different calendars. When do you start your month? Do you start it by the moon? Do you start it on which side of the moon? Do you start it by the sun? Do you start it on this? And there's many calendars. If you look throughout the 6,000 years of man, oh, you could find hundreds of calendars. But you know what's interesting? Every civilization since Adam has always had a seven-day week. Now, is that a coincidence? That no matter what people's religion was, no matter what their calendar was, no matter what they believed, there's always been a seven-day week. There's a short period of time where they tried a 10-day week for like 10 days or something that didn't work, but we've never lost that 7-day week. We've never lost it. And with the Jewish people, the meticulous records that they keep, you know, they've always kept the 7-day week. And you can even go back, you can go to like rabbis here in Jerusalem, and you could find out when a holy day was in the year 38 AD, what day of the week itself. That's how meticulous they are for keeping records. So to believe that somehow, you know, that from the time of Yeshua, that the seven-day week has been broken or lost, and some people believe now, they say, well, Saturday really isn't the seventh day. It's ridiculous. There's absolutely no evidence, and we work in archaeology, archaeological evidence, historical evidence, or biblical evidence, to show that any day but Saturday is the seventh day. Even in most languages, like in Italian, the word Saturday is sabato. It's the word for Sabbath. And in many languages, Spanish, the same thing, that the literal word for Sabbath is the seventh day, is Saturday. So, in Italian, sometimes I speak with my hands and I lose my finger. But definitely, like I said, that has never been lost. And the Sabbath is a part of creation, just like the sun, moon, and the stars. If we go to Exodus 20, because you know what some people say too? Some people say, well, the Sabbath was only given at Mount Sinai. There was no Sabbath day before that. And as we read in Exodus, unless the first two pages of their Bible was ripped out, I can't imagine how somebody could read Genesis 2 and say their Sabbath day was not from creation. Because we just read, he took the seventh day and set it apart, he sanctified it for a holy purpose. But in Exodus 20, verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, to keep it sanctified. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and the seventh day is a Sabbath to Yahweh your Elohim. He shall not do any work, you shall not do any work, you or your son, nor your daughter, nor your male slave, nor your slave girl, and your livestock, and your stranger who is in your gate. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's in them, and he rested on the seventh day. On account of this, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath and sanctified it. So very clearly, at Mount Sinai, the Sabbath is going back to creation. What is the whole reason why the Sabbath day is there? Because in 6 days he made the heaven and the earth and the seventh day he rested. So clearly, from a legal standpoint, you could prove the precedent of the Sabbath from creation. There's no doubt about it. Another thing that's interesting, he says, remember the Sabbath day. You can't remember something you never had. You know, if I were to tell you, remember to lock that door when you come in here. You know, the first thing I would say is lock the door when you come in. And if somebody came in and kept the door open, I'd say, remember what I said, lock the door. So when you're remembering something, you remember something you already knew. You can't remember something that you didn't have before. So like I said, clearly we see that the Sabbath was there from creation. Now, very interesting, like I said, the sun, the moon, and the stars we can see, but the Sabbath you can't see. It's one of the invisible things. Let's go to Romans 1. There's a very interesting scripture here about the Sabbath. Because it goes far more than just the day. I think the Sabbath is the very root to many things in our society of humanistic thinking, many things in our society of being against our Heavenly Father and doing things their own way. But in Romans 1, I'm going to start in verse 18. It's a very interesting scripture that Paul says here. It It says, "For Yahweh's wrath is revealed from heaven on all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, holding the truth in unrighteousness." So this is what wrath is coming. It's coming on people who are against the truth. "Because the thing known of Yahweh is clearly known within them. For Yahweh revealed it to them. For the unseen things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." What are the invisible or unseen things from the creation of the world? The Sabbath. Everything else in creation you were able to see. But the Sabbath is something that is unseen or invisible. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things made." How do we know that the Father exists? By his creation. "But his both his eternal power and Godhead, for them to be without excuse. Because knowing Yahweh, they did not glorify him as Elohim, nor were thankful, but became vain in their reasonings, and their undiscerning heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became foolish and changed the glory of the incorruptible Elohim into a likeness of an image of corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." Evolution. That's exactly what he's talking about. "Because of this, he gave them up to unclean lust," and I'll stop there. So very clearly, you see, the Sabbath goes back to the debate of evolution and creation. "For in 6 days the Father made the heavens and the earth, and the seventh day by resting he created the Sabbath day." The minute you believe in the Sabbath day, you have to believe in a creator. You have to believe in creation. And that's why it says, what did they do? By doing away with the Sabbath day, now they can bring evolution. Now they can make the Father from making man in his image, what do they say? That he made them the great glory of the Father into the likeness of an image of corruptible man and birds and four-footed animal and beast. That's exactly what they said. We started with an amoeba, and then we became a plant, and we became this animal, and the whole evolution process. So I believe that the Sabbath, not only is it called the faith commandment, which we'll get into here in a little bit, but the Sabbath is a clear point for proving creation. And one of the things I do, and I know I have a lot of information scientifically that I can prove creation, but one of the reasons that you can prove creation, the fact that you're sitting here today. See, from creation, and I believe Adam definitely kept the Sabbath because he gave it to him, from Adam, there has always been someone keeping the Sabbath. And that's why Naomi, her dad's book, The True History of the True Church, why I love that book. Because like she said, he showed in every 100-year period, whether people that were living in caves or whatever, there were always Sabbath keepers. And our greatest testimony to creation compared to evolution is to be a Sabbath keeper. It's a blessing of that we are the evidence that there's a creator out there that created all these things. And you know, it's interesting because some people even that believe in a creator, they'll say, well, maybe he used evolution as his means. And they say, no, because think about it. On the third day, what was made? Plants, right? And on the fourth day were the lights in the heavens. Well, a plant, by photosynthesis, needs 12 hours of light, 12 hours of darkness, or at least light and darkness within the day. It doesn't have to be 12 hours. But if a plant doesn't have some time to take in oxygen and some time to take out oxygen, the plant will die. You can't keep a plant locked in a room with no light and have it live. So it proves that if through evolution, if it was thousands of years from that evolutionary process, you wouldn't have had any plants. And then what happened on the fifth day? Insects, you know, living things. In the same way, you need fauna and flora. You need cross-pollination, the way that bees or insects will go. Now, if you had thousands of years, like evolution says, or millions of years, they say, it would be impossible for that to work. Even with fig trees, there's certain types of fig trees right here in Israel that through evolution, that fig tree would never be here. So the point that the tree is here proves there has to be creation. And it had to happen in 6 days, just like the Bible says. And then the seventh day is the Sabbath. And by proving that the Sabbath is a literal day, it also proves that the Sabbath can't be every day. You know, that it has to be a specific day. And I won't go there, but in Matthew 24, where it talks about the end time, and it talks about the abomination of desolation, it says, pray your flight is not on the Sabbath day. It's talking about a specific day, not just, say, a time period. Well, the next thing that gets into, well, what can we do then on the Sabbath? What can we do and what we can't do? And like I said, let's go to Mark 2. Mark, the second chapter. And I'm going to read here from verse 23 to verse 28. And it says it happened, Mark 2, verse 23, and it happened that he, Yeshua, went through the grain fields in the Sabbath. And his disciples began to make way, plucking the heads of the grain. And the Pharisees said to him, behold, why do you do which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? And right here, just let me inject a point that this was lawful according to Torah. According to Torah, when you're walking through a field, you can pick something for yourself to eat. You just can't put it in the bag and take it away. So according to the Torah, this was totally lawful. According to the rabbinical writings, like I said, the many laws that they have on the Sabbath, it was illegal to do according to the traditional thing. So he said, why do you do which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? And he said to them, did you never read what David did when he had need and hungered, how and those with him? How he entered the house of Elohim in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and he ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and he even gave to those being with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath came into being for man's sake, not man for the Sabbath's sake. So then the Son of Man is also the master of the Sabbath also. And that is the key to understanding the Sabbath when you're trying to look at, well, what can I do, what can I do? The Sabbath was created for you. It's not a burden. Somebody who was really, really getting on me one time about not keeping the Sabbath day. And I said, well, wait a second, let me just ask you. I said, what do you do on the Sabbath? What do you do every Saturday? And he said, well, I work. And I said, okay, so I'm working, at that time I was working about 70 hours a week, working from 5 in the morning till 7, 8 at night, sometimes longer, working like a dog. And when Saturday came, it was great. I had that time that I can just go to church, I can fellowship with the Father, I can fellowship with His people. I said, so you want me to work 7 days a week? It's not enough that the burden that the Father put on Adam, because, you know, he went against his will, was that he'd have to toil and trouble for 6 days, you know, to make his food. You want me to do it 7 days. And that's the key to remember. This day was a blessing for you. It's not a day to put you in bondage. It's a day to take you out of bondage. See, and that's the problem. The things of the Father are abomination to the world, and the things of the world are abomination. It goes two ways, like it says. That the world has taken the things of the world, which are abomination to the Father, and they hold them up high. Many things on television, many things in movies. I mean, people watch movies today with killing, with violence, with sex, with cursing, and it's normal. Christian people that watch this, and it's an abomination to our Father. So what he did was, knowing we had to live in a world that was corrupted, he made one day out of seven that we can leave that world. That we can, through the beginning of time, have a picture for what's coming in the days we're living in, the days of the millennium. And that's what gets us through. I had the opportunity to witness a couple of days ago the two girls, Israeli girls, who were 19, who were soldiers. They happened to come into the bookstore, where we volunteer in there, just to use the bathroom. And they started to say how they didn't believe that there was a God and all this stuff. And I started showing them why, through science, you know, that we had to have a creator. And it was interesting, by the time they left, they were so interested. I gave them the book called Yeshua Is My Name. I was showing them the Bible code and how every messianic prophecy Yeshua is in there. And they were just absolutely amazed at seeing things that they never knew before. And I tried to share that with them, that this is a blessing for you. This is here as a blessing to you. It's not here, you know, as a point of restriction. So that's the first thing we want to remember when we're thinking about the Sabbath day. That the fact that we get to leave the world, it's a blessing that we don't have to do what we just read here called servile work. What is servile? Or normal work. We don't have to make the bed. We don't have to clean the dishes. We don't have to mow the lawn. We don't have to vacuum. We don't have to do all the things that we normally do in Satan's society for 6 days. If you work in computers, if you work outside somewhere, you don't have to do that. It's a blessing that you can cease for that for 24 hours. And whatever happens, you know, maybe your house is being foreclosed. Maybe you're totally in bankruptcy. Whatever your problems are, you know what? They're still going to be there Saturday night. So here it is, for that one day you can come out of there. And I know it. I went through an area in my life where I was going through bankruptcy, my church fell apart. I mean, every bad thing in the world was happening. And when Friday evening came, oh, was I happy. You know, lighting that Shabbat candle. And for 24 hours, I literally didn't think of any of my problems. And I had fellowship with the Father and read my Bible. And as the Sabbath was ending, and I get on my hands and knees to pray for the new week, I cry. You know, that you're going back to Satan's world for 6 more days. And I really believe that the blessing of that Sabbath is what's gotten his people through to this point we are now. That we haven't lost sight of the plan. That in the generation we're living in, the Messiah is going to return, this kingdom is going to be set up. So, like I said, that's the key that gets a blessing. Let's go back to Genesis 2. Genesis, the second chapter. And I'm going to read two verses, 16 and 17, and this is about the fall of man. It says, "And Yahweh Elohim took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, You shall freely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." See, this was the key that I say. The Sabbath is the faith commandment. And some people, when it comes to food, you know, they say, well, you really think it's a sin to eat pork? You know, do you really think the kingdom of God is meat and drink? And I say, no, but let me ask you a question. Wasn't the Garden of Eden about food? The Father said, this food is good and this food is bad. It's a matter of faith. Do we believe it? You know, I don't eat pork to be more righteous. I don't think it's a matter of righteousness that I'm eating chicken and I'm not eating pork. But I know one thing. I know the person who made the pig was the same one who made the cow. He didn't just see them running and say, what should we call that one? Call that a pig. Call that a cow. No. He made the digestive tract of the pig. He made the pig the only animal that sweats internally instead of externally. One out of three pigs has trichinosis worm poisoning. 50% fat content. He didn't make it for eating. He made it for other reasons. Animal skins and this stuff. And he made the cow to have two digestive systems. It eats the food, it chews the cud, it brings it up and eats it again so that it's cleaner for us. So out of faith, I believe him. If he says this one is good to eat and that one's abominable, it's not I'm doing it to earn something. I'm doing it because I believe him. And I believe the Sabbath is the same way. If we believe that there's one God in heaven who made all these things, and we believe it's Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if we really believe that, then why wouldn't we cease from our work on the seventh day, like he said? Why wouldn't we give him the honor of doing that? And I always say, the problem sometimes with Sabbath keepers, we can build a self-righteousness in the keeping of the Sabbath instead of giving the righteousness to the one who created it. There's no righteousness for us to be here doing this. The righteousness is giving the Father the honor and the glory for creating it. So we don't want to become self-righteous. We don't want to be judging people who don't keep it. We want to be taking the glory to him for creating it. And just be so humbled that while he thought of us. Look, here we are in Jerusalem, the center of the universe, where the law will go forth from Jerusalem. And a few of us sitting in a room that has been used for 50 years for Sabbath keepers. And yet, out there, you can go to congregations that would have 300 and 400 and 500 people that say the Lord's nailed to the cross. What an honor it is that us, weak us that's nothing, that have nothing that is any better than anybody else, that doesn't have any kind of characteristics that makes us special, that he's chosen us to be here. To reveal, it's a spiritual thing, and that's why you can't judge people that don't understand it. There's a spiritual element that comes in. And really, it really is the faith commandment. You can talk to people, and many people that are even non-religious, they'll say, oh, well, I keep the commandments. I don't lie. I don't steal. How do you know? See, most of it starts in the mind. That's what Yeshua told us. You know, the law says you shall not murder. I say if you even think anger, you murdered your brother. So if someone says, well, I'm not a murderer. I'm not a liar. I'm not an adulterer. How do you know it? They should be thinking about it. But the Sabbath, that's the one commandment that you can't hide. You're either out there working today in the world, or you're sitting here giving the Father the glory. And when you keep the Sabbath day, you'll stand out as a sore thumb. And people will hate you for it. You know, even if you're not pushing it on them, they'll hate the fact that you're honoring the one true deity of the universe. They won't like it. And they get convicted because they know it's true, but they don't want to do it. And they're very much against it. So like I said, the key is remembering, though, to give the honor of the one who created it, not take the honor for us. We didn't create anything. It's an honor for us that we're here, but we don't take glory to ourselves to build a self-righteousness in keeping the Sabbath. We give the honor to the one who created it. Like I said, for the Sabbath, we're able that for 6 days we have to work in Satan's world. Remember when Satan was before Yeshua? When he tried him for 40 days in the wilderness and Yeshua fasted? And what did Satan say to him? When he told him, you know, to make bread and the stone into bread, and Yeshua said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of Yahweh. And the next thing he said to him, he said, look, in a moment, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And he said, this is what Satan said. all these kingdoms have been given to me, and whoever I choose to give them to. And he said to Yeshua, bow down before me, and I'll give them to you. And Yeshua said, you shall worship Yahweh and him alone. Now, what's very interesting is, Yeshua never said to Satan, well, you don't have authority over the world's kingdoms. He never challenged him there. See, and like I said, for 6,000 years, the Father has allowed Satan to make governments and schools and systems, and we're living in that system. And what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to live in the world, but be not of the world. You know, when we go in our job, we don't lie on our job. We don't steal on our job. But also part of that example is by resting on the seventh day. That we're showing this is the reason why we're doing it. We're not doing it because we're humanistic. We're not doing it because we're good people. We're doing it because the one we're going to honor this Saturday is the one who told us to do it. You know, we're doing it because of that reason. So that's the point, that for 6 days we work in Satan's system, but the seventh day we get that foretaste of the millennium. And it really is a blessing. It is such a blessing to be able to have that. And it gives us hope for the kingdom and never to lose our focus. Let's go to Hebrews, the third chapter. And it's funny because some people that are not Sabbath keepers, they say, well, every commandment is reiterated in the New Testament except for the Sabbath day. And I say, what version are you reading at it? Doesn't it have the book of Hebrews in there? Because the book of Hebrews, as we're going to read here, is very clear that the Sabbath day is reiterated in the New Testament. Hebrews 3, I'm going to start. And in Hebrews 3, it's giving us an example of the children of Israel in the wilderness. And because of a lack of faith, they didn't enter the Father's rest. And that rest is an analogy of the kingdom. You know, he says they didn't enter that rest. And look at verse 17 of Hebrews 3. It says, but with whom was he angry 40 years? Talking about the Father. Was it not with the ones sinning, those corpses who fell in the wilderness? And to whom would he swear they would not enter his rest, except those not obeying? So entering the rest had to deal with obedience. And we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. See, being obedient to the Father's law has everything to do with faith. You know, that's the reason why we believe. We believe because of faith, not in order to be saved. Because we know the blood of Yeshua is what saves us, but once we're saved, we continue to be obedient because of faith in the Father that His Word is perfect. Chapter 4, therefore let us fear lest perhaps a promise being left to enter into his rest, any of you might seem to come short. For indeed, we had the gospel preached to us, even as they also. But the word did not profit those hearing, not having been mixed with faith in the ones who hearing. And even today, we know of Torah congregations that preach Torah, 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 but there's no faith involved. And without the faith involved, the congregations can get very bland. You know, it can just become very methodical. You have to mix the spirit of the law with the letter of the law. And that's what Yeshua did. The law said you shall not murder. I say if you even think anger. He's putting the spirit with the letter to make it one. Not having been mixed with faith in the ones hearing. Verse 3. For we, the ones believing, enter into the rest, even as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, though the works had come into being from the foundation of the world. Definitely he's talking about the Sabbath day. For he has spoken somewhere about the seventh day this way. And Yahweh rested from all his work in the seventh day. And in this place again, they shall not enter into my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter into it, and those who formerly had the gospel preached did not enter in on account of disbelief, he again marks out a certain day, the seventh day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, according to as it has been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua gave them rest, then would he have afterwards spoken about another day? Of course not. So then there remains the Sabbath rest to the people of Yahweh. For he entering into his rest, he himself also rested from his work, as Yahweh had done from his own. Very clearly there. See, the fact is, personal redemption through Yeshua and the millennial rest that comes from there. And like I said, the blessing is that we don't have to do any of our regular jobs. We've all had, some of us here have had children, but we all know children. We've had brothers and sisters. Think about it, when you were a child or your children, they all have chores. You know, you have to sweep the floor, you have to do the dishes. Think about it as a child. If you were told, you know what, I'll give you 24 hours that you don't have to do any chores. Would your children say, "Oh, Ma, that's a burden. Don't put such a burden on us." Of course not. And that's the way it is. The Father is our Father, and He's saying, for 24 hours, you don't have to do your chores. So if your chore is that you work over here in this computer place, or your chore is you have to cut the grass, whatever it is, the same way the Father created the Sabbath by ceasing from His work, that's the blessing that we have. Isn't that awesome? 24 hours that we have nothing to do but fellowship with Him and His people. I know a lot of us said that during the week, we don't have enough time to read the Bible the way we should. And we try every day, that's the way we wake up. We wake up and we read our Bible. But on the Sabbath, we can go for 4, 5, 6 hours. You know, and it's like you have that time for fellowship that's really important. Let's go to Nehemiah 10. And just to show a couple of other things about the Sabbath day, when you're thinking about what you may want to cease from doing and keep the blessing that the Father is giving you on that day. Because again, remember, the blessing is that He's sanctifying us from the world. So if He's sanctifying us from the world, do we really want to go back to the world? Nehemiah, the 10th chapter, in verse 30 and 31. Nehemiah, the 10th chapter, in verse 30 and 31. It says, "And we swore that we would not give our daughters to the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land should bring goods or any food to sell on the Sabbath, we would not take from them on the Sabbath day or on the holy day. And they would forego the seventh year in the interest hand." So very clearly here, you see now, this is the ones who are coming out of captivity. And they're trying to do the right thing before the Father. And it says that they would not buy food from these people on the Sabbath day. See, the blessing of us, we live in a world of world democracy. And I know to people in America, it's very hard to understand this when I say how bad world democracy is. Because, you know, it's worked pretty good for Americans. You know, we have three cars and we have nice houses. But for two-thirds of the world who go to bed at night without a bowl of rice, it hasn't worked that well. And the reason why an American can wear a polo shirt, you know, that costs $75 or whatever it is because there's somebody in Mexico making that shirt for 10 cents a day or 10 cents an hour. And world democracy overall has not worked good. It's not a good system. Like I said, if you're in America, you think it's working good, but overall in the world, it really is not working. So the blessing is that we can come out of that for 24 hours. We don't have to do any trading. We don't have to do any buying and selling. We don't have to transfer money. That's the blessing to us. Who wants to go out? I mean, you have 6 days to go out and buy clothes and do whatever other nonsense we have to do because we live in Satan's world. But on the seventh day, we can cease from that. We don't have to go to restaurants. And I've noticed from this organization I came out of, Church of God, they were Sabbath keepers. But all the time we used to go to restaurants after services. And it was weird. You could be in service, and you could be set apart, and you could be hearing a great sermon. And the minute we would go to the restaurant, boom, it was like right back in the world. And I realized, if the Father is setting me apart from the world, why on earth would I walk in a restaurant on the Sabbath day? Where people are smoking cigarettes, where people are cursing, where everything is going on in the world. The blessing is He's taking us away from it. So it's not that, ooh, I can't go to a restaurant on the Sabbath. It's I'm blessed that I don't have to go to a restaurant on the Sabbath. I don't have to transfer money. And like I said, here is the precedent where we shouldn't be buying our food on the Sabbath. That's why there's a preparation day. But the Father has blessed us that we don't have to do these things on His holy day. Nehemiah 13, just goes two verses over. Nehemiah 13, and I'll start in verse 15. It says, "In those days I saw in Judah one treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and loading asses, and also wine, grapes, and figs, and all burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them," this is Nehemiah talking, "on the day they sold food. Men of Tyre who also lived in it, who brought fish and all the wares and were selling on the Sabbath to the sons of Judah, even in Jerusalem. And I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, 'What is this evil thing you're doing, defiling the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do this, and did not our Elohim bring all this evil on us and on this city? You yet being more wrath on Israel by defiling the Sabbath.' And it happened when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath," this was Friday afternoon, "I commanded that the gates should be shut and commanded that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. And I made stand some of my servants at the gate so that there should not be a burden brought in on the Sabbath day. And the merchants and the sellers of the ware stayed the night outside Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said to them, 'Why are you standing around the wall? If you do this again, I will send a hand against you.' From that time, they did not come on the Sabbath day." So And I commanded the Levites that they should be cleansing themselves, and they should come guarding the gate to sanctify the Sabbath day. O my Elohim, remember me for this, and spare me according to the great of your mercy. And we see that, like I said, if we put ourselves back in the world that the Father is pulling us out of, we're losing the blessing. It's a blessing to be out of the world. It's a blessing not to be doing these things. And I really believe that if the culture in the West was different, and we used the preparation day, Friday, the way we should, there'd be no problem for Shabbat. You know, we should be preparing our food on Friday and doing all the things we need to do. And then on Shabbat, we have everything free. We don't have to worry about that stuff. But very, very clearly that he went back and said the reason why they went into captivity was because of the breaking of the Sabbath. And I'd just like to go to one scripture there in Ezekiel 20 to show this. Ezekiel, the 20th chapter, and I'm going to start in verse 14. Because when some people say, well, is it really that important? As long as we all believe in Yeshua for the forgiveness of sins, that's the main thing, and is it really that important? And of course, that's the main thing. You can't be saved without believing in the blood of Yeshua. But after you believe in the blood of Yeshua, now what? Can we lie? Can we steal? Can we, you know, commit adultery? Of course not. So let's look at what it says here. Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. Is it really that important, the Sabbath day? Ezekiel 20, and I'm going to start in verse 11, actually. Verse 11, and I'll go to verse 14. It says, and I gave them my statutes, this is the Father speaking, and I made them know my judgments, which if a man does them, he will even live by them. And I also gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh who does set them apart. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he will even live by them. And they greatly profaned my Sabbath. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. But I worked for my name's sake, that it shall not be profaned in the eyes of the nations before whom I brought them out in their eyes. So very clearly, when someone says, how important is the Sabbath day? A whole nation lost their identity because of it. A whole nation went into captivity because they profaned the Sabbath day that the Father gave to them. And like I said, our works are not important to get us saved, but our works are important to keep us saved. You know, the once saved, always saved just doesn't work. You know, Hebrews 10:26, if we willfully sin after the knowledge of the truth, there's no more sacrifice for sin. You know, because we're mocking the Spirit of grace. You know, Paul says in Romans 3, shall we sin that grace abound? Yahweh forbid. But through grace, we should establish the law, make the law stand firm. So that's the thing. We're not doing these things now to be saved. We've already been saved. We've all been baptized and accepted the blood of Yeshua for forgiveness of sins. But now we're doing these things through faith because we believe in the one who said it is perfect and everything he said is perfect. Go to Exodus 31 and let me show that the Sabbath day is definitely a sign of the covenant. And again, when people say to me, you know, you don't have to keep the Sabbath day, what I usually say is, well, for me I do because it's a sign of my covenant. And again, I don't judge other people. I don't judge Christians. I don't know which covenant they're under. But the covenant that I'm under, the Sabbath is definitely a sign of. And that's what I show them. And I'm going to read it here. In Exodus 31, and I'm going to start in verse 12. It says, and Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, and you shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely keep my Sabbath, for it is a sign between me and you for your generations to know that I am Yahweh, your sanctifier. And you shall keep the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. The profaners of it surely shall be put to death. For everyone doing work in it, that soul shall be cut off from the midst of his people. Work may be done 6 days, and on the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to Yahweh. Everyone doing work on the Sabbath day surely shall be put to death. And the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath, to do the Sabbath for their generations. It is a never-ending covenant. It is a sign forever between me and the sons of Israel. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Very clearly, it is a sign of the covenant. We know in the new covenant, we also have the sign of baptism. So those are the two signs that we see the Father gives. So for me, like I said, I'm not judging people who are Sunday keepers, but they're in another covenant. So if their covenant, if they feel they can get to heaven by committing adultery and sinning and nailing the law to the cross, well, that's the consent of the Father. I know it's not a covenant I'd want to take a chance on. But I know with my covenant, he says, this is a sign between me and my children forever. I know that my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, whether his name was Naphtali, Issachar, Dan, or Asher, he broke this and he went into captivity. And I know I'm a byproduct of that captivity. And I know that after 2,700 years that the Father is revealing this to his children Israel in the end time, like we said, the seed of Abraham, I don't want to profane that. I'm honored that he would do that for me. Because I know that my father never knew about the Sabbath, my grandfather didn't, his father didn't, so somehow the Father had mercy on me to reveal these things to my mind. And I'm not going to profane it. There's not a person in this world who can ever convince me not to keep the Sabbath day. I've been blessed by it too much. It's the greatest blessing in my week. Why would I want to take that away? So no way, that this is definitely, it's a sign of the covenant of Yahweh and his children. By breaking the Sabbath, Israel lost their identity. They became Gentiles. And you know what's very interesting? I said this in my messages before, that the Hebrew language is a pictograph language. Originally, it wasn't letters. It was 22 pictures. And like the letter, the word picture for an enemy is the picture of a man and a picture of a weapon. A man with a weapon is an enemy. The picture, word picture for father, the word is Abba in Hebrew. The first letter is Aleph. The second letter is Bet. The picture for Aleph is the picture of an ox. It means strength. The picture for Bet is the picture of a house. It means family. So the father, Aleph Bet, is the strength of the family. And without even knowing Hebrew, if you memorize these 22 pictures, you could look at any Hebrew word and know what it is. Do you know the word picture for Sabbath? The word picture for Sabbath is to return to the house of the covenant. To return to the house of the family of the covenant. See, the Sabbath is all about identity. Is it about, you know, you have to be saved this way? Well, no, it's a sign of identity. It's a sign of who we are. And that's the key. When you walk through that door and you come back to the house of the covenant and understand you're a child of Abraham, everything gets easy from then. Because I don't know too many Sabbath keepers who were keeping Christmas and Easter and all the pagan days. And I don't know too many Sunday keepers or people who keep Christmas and Easter who are also keeping Sabbath. Sabbath is it's the commandment of faith. Once you walk through that door of the Sabbath and you're willing to risk your job, you're willing to risk your family, you're putting everything on the line because you know this is the day that your Creator set aside, so many other doors open up. So many things open up from the Sabbath day. And it really is. It's a way of a faith commandment, and it brings you back into the family of the covenant. Because now we know who we are. We know we're the seed of Abraham. Before we were called Gentiles, out there bowing down to stone, celebrating Ishtar Sunday. You know, and now we're coming back to the family of the covenant. Let's go to Genesis 1:14. Show one other thing on that. Genesis 1:14. And it says the moon and the sun and the stars were given for days and for seasons. And that word for seasons, literally moedim, is the word in Hebrew. And that word literally means a holy appointment. So now when does the Sabbath start? We know the Sabbath starts at sunset Friday. When the sun goes down and you can't see the sun, you know the Sabbath starts. So the sun and the moon and the stars were given for holy appointments. Now just think about it. The Creator of the universe, I mean, no beginning, no end. He's been around forever. I mean, we can't even think about how intricate his mind is. Every Friday night, he has set apart an appointment for you. That's what it's about. It's literally a holy appointment. He has set apart for you for 24 hours. He's saying, okay, Don, Friday night at sunset, I'll be at your place. Now, if the Creator of the universe can do that, if he can set this special time apart every Friday night for me, can I at least honor him by showing up? I mean, wouldn't I do that? I mean, if you go on a job interview and you really want that job and the job interview is 1 o'clock, would you just not show up for the interview and think you're going to get the job? So it's an honor for us that this wonderful, awesome, almighty Creator can actually think of us to set that time apart for us. How wonderful it is. And like I said, it really is a sign of identity. It shows who we are. If we go to Genesis 25, be ending up here shortly, just want to show something on that. Genesis 25. Because remember, we're not of the house of Judah. What are we of the house of? We're of the house of Ephraim, right? We're a brother. You know, like it says, even though Abraham doesn't know us and Israel doesn't acknowledge us, Isaiah 63, you are our father. And remember, the scepter, the kingship was given to Judah, but what promise was given to Ephraim? The promise of the firstborn. The promise of the firstborn. You know, you have the birthright and the scepter. And as the firstborn, everybody knows, the firstborn has, they're the one that has more maturity. They're the ones that watch the younger one. And we have a responsibility to who we are, being of the house of Ephraim. And look what happened to that birthright promise to Esau when he didn't realize that. Genesis 25, starting in verse 29. It says, "And Jacob boiled soup, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Please let me eat of the red of this soup, for I am faint.' On account of this, his name is called Edom, which means red. And Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright today.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I'm going to die. What good is this birthright to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me today.' And he swore to him that he'd sell him his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave bread and soup and lentils to Esau, and he ate and drank and rose up and left, and Esau despised the birthright." And what I'm saying to Christianity out there who has given up this intimate relationship of Shabbat with the Father, who's given up their identity, who's given up, are they really selling their birthright? Are they selling their birthright by going after idolatry, by worshiping things like Christmas and Easter? And you have to think about this. It's a serious question. In my book, which many, many people have really praised the Father that they've come to the truth for it, that's what I do. I'm not attacking, but I say it in a way that I'm challenging them because I love them. I don't want to see anybody perish. And I'm challenging them, are we being like this? You know, even if we're Sabbath keepers and we're not really keeping the Sabbath, you know, maybe sometimes we work or we're going out and buying food or whatever we're doing, are we despising our birthright? This is a sign of identity. It's a sign of who we are. And the Father said, through this sign, you will never lose your identity if you keep it. And that's why I'm cautious. I love it. This is something that's special. This is something that's really important to me. And I don't want to lose my identity again. I know my great-great-great-great-grandfather did it. I don't want to make the same mistake as they did and lose that size. And like I said, a nation has been in captivity for 2,700 years, the northern tribes of Israel, because they lost this sign. The other thing very quickly I'll go over is Isaiah 58. Because the first thing is ceasing from our work, not buying and selling. And the last thing, we don't want to make the Sabbath just into a day of vacation. It's not just a day of just resting from work, because there's many people in the world that on Sunday, not for religious reasons, they just don't work on Sunday. You know, and they just relax on that day, which is fine. It is a day of rejuvenation. But we want to look at the scripture here in Isaiah 58, verse 13. And this is what the Father's saying to us, his children. He says, "If you turn your foot away because of the Sabbath day from doing what you please on my holy day, and if you call the Sabbath a delight, glorify to the holiness of Yahweh, and shall glorify it away, and not do your own ways, and not finding your own pleasure or speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in Yahweh, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the earth and make you eat with the inheritance of your father Jacob, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken." So this is the last thing, like I said, not to make a lot of do's and don'ts, but we want to make sure on the Sabbath day we're not seeking our own pleasure. It's not a day to go boating. It's not a day for 12 rounds of golf. You know, it's not a day for seeking our own pleasure. It's a day for fellowship with Him. And think about it. Like I said, if the Father has set this time apart, and the Creator of the universe has done this for us, can't we at least honor Him by giving Him that time? And when we fellowship with each other, we're fellowshipping with Him. But it's a day that we're not to seek our own pleasure. That's not what the Sabbath is for. So these are very, very simple rules that they are for Shabbat. We don't need 1,000 do's and don'ts. We don't need, you know, a whole list of things, because then it can become a burden. But He's given us simple guidelines for the Sabbath, not to make it a burden, to make it a blessing. To take us away from world democracy. To take us out of Satan's world and give us that time for a blessing. If we go to Psalm 19, look what He says. "A friend of mine who's Jewish, who when I came here several years ago was not keeping the Sabbath. And I said to him, 'Man,' I said, 'are you kidding?' I said, 'You're Jewish. Why aren't you keeping the Sabbath?'" He's a Messianic Jew. And I said to him, he has several children and he's having a lot of troubles. And I said, "So-and-so, do you have too many blessings in your life?" And he said, well, no. And I said, well, if you don't, then why on earth would you give this lesson away? Because I'm going to read a scripture to you now that every Saturday that you meet, every Saturday you sanctify, you have a blessing waiting for you. And it's in Psalm 19, and I'm going to start in verse 7. It says, the law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is pure, making the wise simple. The precepts of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of Yahweh are clear, giving light to the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more precious than gold, even than fine gold, and sweeter than honey, and drops from the honeycomb. And your servant is warned by them. In keeping of them is great reward. And when people say, you don't have to keep the Sabbath, I say, okay, but you know something? I believe this. I believe there's a reward for doing it. And I love rewards. And there's a blessing here. Why would I want to give away one blessing? And you know something? Anything the Father says, even if I don't understand it, you know, I wear tefi. I keep the holy days. I try to do everything. Not because I'm putting myself in a burden, because I know there's a blessing. In faith, I believe that everything he said is perfect. And if it's perfect, there's got to be a blessing for doing it. That's what the Word is telling us. And everything I do against his will and make my own decisions, I know somewhere down the line it's going to hurt. I tell people that are single who don't even believe in any kind of God, I say, look, keep yourself pure till marriage. I said, the commandments, they're scientific. If you go out and you have this partner and that partner and that partner, you're going to get a disease. It's that simple. And it may even destroy your life or kill you. So even if you don't keep the commandments because you believe in Yahweh, Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, do it for yourself. Do it for yourself. It's only logic. It's scientific that if you break these laws, they will break you. You want to go out and eat pork? Go ahead. You're going to wind up with heart disease. You're going to wind up sick. It's a matter of just logic, these things. And with all my heart and faith, I believe what he says. There's great reward in doing these. So that's the thing. We're not doing them to make them a burden. We're not doing them because we're trying to earn our salvation. We're doing them in faith, exactly the way the New Testament says. And very clearly, just quickly, I'll go over John 14. I'll just read you a few scriptures just to prove it is a commandment, though. Because some people say, well, okay, I keep the Sabbath, but just don't use that word commandment. And the word commandment is not a dirty word. It's a good thing. You know, when the Father says something is a commandment, he says, I give you these commandments for your good. And they're rules. There's nothing wrong with the word commandment. John 14 and verse 15. From the mouth of Yeshua very clearly. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now that's not hard to understand. How many people say, I love Jesus. You know, I love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is showing the love, because anybody can say it. Verse 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and the one that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I shall love him, and I will reveal myself to him. Don't we all want him to reveal ourselves to him? Well, his word cannot be broken. And he says, by keeping his commandments, it's showing our love for him, and that's the way he'll be revealed to us. Verse 23, Yeshua answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make a dwelling place with him. Don't we want his tabernacle within our spirit and our soul? Well, this is the way he's telling us. By keeping his commandments is the way we do that. Let's go to 1 John 2. 1 John, the second chapter. And I will start in verse 2. 1 John 2 and verse 2. And again, John, the last apostle to be alive, and what does he write about? He writes about love and obedience. They go hand in hand. 1 John 2 and verse 2. Verse 3. And by this we know that we have known him if we keep his commandments. 1 John 2 and verse 3. And now verse 4. The one saying, I have known him and not keeping his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in that one. But whoever keeps his word, and truly in this one the love of Yahweh has been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one saying to rest in him ought to walk also as he walked. So people that say, well, my rest is in the Messiah. I don't need to keep the Sabbath. What is he saying? If we're saying we rest in him, we ought to walk the way Yeshua walked. And how did Yeshua walk? He kept the commandments. He kept the Sabbath. Very clearly. He who says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar. That's coming from Yeshua, not from me. It's not meant to offend somebody, it's just from him. 1 John 3:4, what does it say? What is sin? Sin is the transgression of law. So even in the new covenant, sin is the breaking of the law. And how do we get communion with him? By keeping his law. Turn over to 1 John 5. 1 John 5 in verse 2 and 3. 1 John 5, 2 and 3. It says, by this we know that we love the children of Yahweh, when we love Yahweh and keep his commandments. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. They're not burdensome. Like I said, is it a blessing that you're here today on Shabbat, or is it a burden? That's the key. That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. To me, it's the greatest blessing in my life to be able to keep the Sabbath every week. And the last scripture I'm going to go over before we end here is Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. Very interesting. In verse 1, it says, remember your creator in the days of your youth. In the Hebrew, that word is plural. Remember your creator. Have you ever talking to a Jewish people about whether there's a father and a son? That's a very interesting scripture for them. But look what Solomon says. The richest man that ever lived, look what his conclusion of the whole matter was. In verse 12. He says, or actually 13. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yahweh and keep his commandments, for this applies to every man. And literally in the Hebrew, it means it's what makes man complete. Now isn't that interesting? That what made creation complete? The literal act of resting on the Sabbath. What makes mankind complete? The literal act of resting on the Sabbath. That this is what completes man. Because you know what? Out there today, there are many people who are humanistic, that are atheists. They don't believe in any kind of deity or God or nothing. And you know what? Many of them say, hey, I do good work. I don't lie, I don't steal, I don't cheat. But they do it from a humanistic standpoint. So by keeping the Sabbath, that's the one commandment that tells you why we don't lie, cheat, or steal. And without that, without the Sabbath day, it's all humanistic. It all gets back to self-righteousness with its filthy rag. And we can do the right thing, and we can do it for the wrong reason. Like Paul said, you could feed the poor and do all these things. And if you're doing it for vanity, it doesn't mean nothing. But if we're doing it for the love of our Heavenly Father, that's what makes a difference. So that's why Solomon said, fear Yahweh, keep his commandments, for this is what makes mankind complete.